thinking big thoughts so you don't have to.
But we do.
Here's John Williams.
For you every day. This is John. We're in the Skyline Studio downtown Chicago. Thanks for tuning in. We're here weekdays 1 to 3. And remember, on Facebook, I'm WGN King John. Our Mincing Rascals podcast, judged best in the state, drops on Thursdays. Listen for that Thursday around 6. Share that wildly with your friends and give it good reviews, please. Lots of ground to cover today. Raja Krishnamurthy was in tears when he was talking to Lieutenant Colonel Alexander Vindman. The congressman from the Naperville area was relating to the personal story of the lieutenant colonel, and he kind of lost it. You'll hear that in a little bit. Plus, it's just so typical, the closing remark of Devin Nunes and the closing remark of Adam Schiff. We'll get to that in a little while. But as I was telling Steve a little while ago, it seems to me like there's a number of stories in the news right now about these doorbell cams, and I'm wondering if you have one or not. The doorbell cams are sort of the second part of each of these stories, right? In the case of a little girl in Houston earlier this year, a guy kidnapped the 8-9-year-old girl. And as he drove away, they were able to capture his vehicle and his license plate because of the doorbell cam. And the next day, they kicked down his door. Have you seen the video? It's one of those instances where you just say, thank God for the police. They do work I cannot or would not want to do. Had their guns drawn, grabbed the guy, walked in, rescued the little girl. 24 hours later, the girl was okay. That guy has since been sentenced to life, and the video has just become available. So that's why that story's in the news. But anybody that's seen the story goes, wow, the video cam. There was the case of a kidnapping in Los Angeles. The woman screaming as the car drives off. And in this case, it wasn't a doorbell cam, but locally it was the video in that shared garage, which gave police a pretty good clue as to who killed those people in Buffalo Grove. And I don't have one of those, but do you? Does your building, do they work? How do they work? Is it worth it? All of that stuff? I don't know. I'm one of those people that isn't that technologically savvy either. I was filling in for Steve Cochran last Friday. Dave Bennett was in the studio, and he was showing me how he could adjust the lights and the temperature in his house. In fact, he goes, yeah, look at this. Whipped out his smartphone. This is Dave Bennett during a commercial break. We had time. And he said, that light doesn't need to be on. That light doesn't need to be on. And he was turning off lights in his house through his phone. And I thought, Shazam, which is what I say to myself when I'm amazed at things. Shazam. I don't know if I can pull that sucker off. And Dave says what everybody says when they've got it figured out and you don't. They go, oh, it's real easy. You just go to the store, you buy the thing, then you download it, then you hit the thing. And I'm like, no, that's already too complicated for me. Could I rent an 18-year-old? Do those cameras and setups work? So there's reviews and consumer reports. PCMag.com has a 15 top doorbell cam review. They said expect to spend anywhere from $50 to $500. The reviews I'm seeing, mostly they cost $99 to $250. You have to be connected to Wi-Fi. There's a couple of incidental costs. But once you got that thing, does it work? Do you use it? How does that go?
Are there monthly fees?
$3.
$3?
Well, according to one of these articles.
You know, some of them, I'm sorry, I just sat down if you'd said this, but there are police departments that are automatically wired into them.
Additional charge. But right.
Do you want your front yard camera to be police surveillance material?
Right. Maybe you don't want to see who's... I mean,
stealing from other people.
Well, no.
Why wouldn't you?
But. What if your girlfriend is showing up and you don't want anybody to know that?
Right.
You don't want a permanent video of that. The other thing is, it seems to me to be a little retroactive. Like if somebody steals packages from your front door or kidnaps your kid, it doesn't keep them from doing it, but at least you get a chance to see who is there. But I was talking to my wife about it, and she said, well, when our doorbell rings, I'd like to know even before I go to the door. I said, Brenda, I never thought about that. It's just her and Daisy is a ferocious, mid-size, dizzy, dappled wiener dog. But I don't know that she's going to beat anybody back. So Brenda said, I think it would be good if we had one of those video cameras, and then you can see who's on the other side of the door. And if you're in a shared building, if you're in an apartment or a condo or something like that, you know what happens sometimes? The delivery people will just ring any or all of the buzzers, hoping somebody buzzes them in, and then they set the Amazon Prime package down in the common area. That's how a lot of packages get delivered. So a lot of times your thing rings, you open, you don't know who's down there, you go to the door, nobody's there, but there's a package. Okay. But what if that was somebody coming to do harm or somebody coming in to steal the packages? So I understand the sort of quandary here. Hey, Catherine, you're on WGN. What's up?
Hi. You know, funny about all the security equipment. I live in Carroll Stream, and our police department this week has just put out a request. If you have any security equipment on the outside of your home, if there is a crime near your home, if they would be able to access your security equipment. So it is becoming bigger and bigger.
Yeah, so I'm sorry. The police in Carroll Stream are saying, can we tap into, look at the video that you have shared if you have one of those cameras, huh?
Yes, yes. Not that they would have access to it, you know, 24/7.
Oh, I see.
Only if,
well, how do you feel about that?
Worried. I'm okay with it. I mean, we live in a pretty secure town. So I would say any way I can help, you know, my town make me safer is fine with me.
Yeah, that's kind of where I am, to be honest with you. All right, thanks for the call, Catherine. 312-981-7200. Just one break this half hour. This is it. We'll also come back with an expert on this technology. Tell me how it's working for you. This is WG. We're talking about that Buffalo Grove shooting. It's just tragic. So strange, too. 64, 69-year-old man and woman. The garage door goes up. They drive in. Before the door comes down, they're evidently... killer walks right in through the open door. A memo to all of us. I don't know what the solution to that is, but at least watch out. The video camera they had inside, high quality, they say, was able to capture information that looks like will lead police to the eventual capture of this guy. Let's hope so. And then there's a couple of other stories nationally where doorbell video cameras just did amazing things. And I've been dragging my heels on this. Maybe it's time we all got one of these things. I don't know. Hi, John. Had a childish adult, looks like 35 years old, picture perfect in my doorbell cam, ringing the doorbell at 3:30 in the morning, scared the hell out of us. You know, the other thing that bugs me about this, though, and maybe this is one of the reasons I've been resistant in the past, is I go to the door, I open the door, I think, what if somebody was fleeing trouble and they were trying to get into your door and you're judging their appearance or their actions and the Good Samaritan would let him in the door and say, what's wrong? Not knowing what's coming in, but rather than being victimized, you might be the savior here.
Well, wasn't there a serial killer that did that?
Yes.
But was not really hurt?
Well, wait a minute. I thought you were about to say, wasn't there a story where somebody was knocking on doors trying to get help? I think it was like one of these kidnapped kids or something, and they were knocking on doors, and thank goodness somebody opened the door to let them in. Because
yes.
I think a lot of people are intimidated by that situation.
Well, yeah, it's scary. You don't know. But no, I mean, unless I just saw this on a TV show or a movie, I'm pretty sure there wasn't in the 70s there a guy that was going around pretending that he got hurt in an accident and needed to borrow, like, it was like the nurses, the guy that killed all the nurses.
Wow, I don't remember that, but I could see that as a scandal.
He'd have a fake injury.
Did they do that on American
Horror Story? Yeah, but I'm pretty sure that's based on a true event.
Let's pick up a couple of phone lines, and let's actually also welcome in Jacob Palmer to our conversation here. Jacob's been on with us before about things tech. He's the editorial manager for bestreviews.com. Hey, Jacob, welcome back to WGN. How are you?
Hi, thanks for having me on the show. I appreciate it.
Yeah, so you're over here in our conversation there. What jumps out at you?
Oh, of course. I think the name you were looking for was Ted Bundy. He was the one who would kind of prey on people's feelings of wanting to be charitable and helpful for people, and he would fake an injury and then smash them as a serial killer over in the Northwest in Seattle. The thing is very interesting with these cameras is that it's become a real tool for people, both in protecting their own things, and it's also, you know, they've been generous enough to hand over the footage to law enforcement agencies, and that's helped them out. The case in Los Angeles that you were referring to of the kidnapping victim was truly chilling of the video of the woman screaming from a car driving by.
Yeah, I mean, literally screaming. And then people came out. The video camera captured that. But more importantly, it got them some hopefully helpful information to track down the person, right?
Mm-hmm. And they were able to reopen the case, and I believe it's been closed now. So, you know, it's truly that was truly a blessing for that family of that poor woman who was taken that night.
And generally these things work. I mean, is one absolutely far and away the best, or is there one that you really need to stay away from? Can you just give me any sort of tips on this technology?
Well, in terms of, you know, what's available on the market, Ring is the brand name that most people associate with this technology. It's kind of the Xerox or the Kleenex in that when people say a Ring doorbell, they're referring to a video doorbell, but that's the brand that's taken that name. They are the leader in the space, and they are very good. They just came out with a new one that has really solid picture. We did a little bit of testing on it, and the picture quality on it is very impressive. The one thing that I would say is the biggest differentiator, though, in the market is your internet connection, that you need to make sure if you're going to be relying on this technology in any way that you have a strong connection in your home and that the doorbell is near enough to a router that it's able to, you know, maintain its functionality.
Yeah, that's a good point. Brian, you had a question or a comment. You're on WGN. Hi, Brian.
Hi. Yeah, not particularly a question. We had not Aurora, maybe about a month.
Just cut out. Bong, we lost him. Talk about connections. I saw what he was saying on the screen, though, Jacob. He said that there was a shooting in front of his house, and he got really good video of it. Which is amazing to me because I would imagine the focus on that would be right there within inches of the front door. Do these cameras capture what's happening out on the street too?
Definitely. They definitely give you the picture. If you were standing out on your front porch or, you know, open your door and you look out and you see, I don't want to say it's a full 180 degree range that you'd see, but if you were keeping your head straight forward and looking across the street, that's basically the picture you're going to get from some of these newer models of the Ring doorbells.
630 texted in and said, hey, John, that $3 charge you read about for the doorbell Ring is only if you want the audio part to the video. Well, I imagine I would. Should I pay the extra $3, Jacob?
Yeah, if it's something that you want to be able to correspond with people, you know, be able to talk to people and hear from them, it's generally one of those things that it is an add-on, and it feels like you might be getting upsold. But at the same time, it does, you know, unlock all the features and the functionality of the product to make sure that, you know, you're getting your money's worth out of it. You'd hate to put all of that technology into your front door to protect your family and your property, and, you know, then skimp at the last moment when it could provide a pretty useful tool, because you never know when you're going to need it.
Well, and does it also have the technology where, say, I'm not home at all, but somebody rings my doorbell, I can video conference mm-hmm. with them from work or wherever and say, okay, you're legit, come on in or not, mm-hmm. and I'll call the police, right?
And that's probably the biggest selling point for a lot of people, especially people if, you know, you travel for work a lot. It's very beneficial to be able to tell a guy who's, you know, ostensibly dropping off a package. If you say to him, hey, you know, can you drop it off around the corner of the house? That way it would deter other thieves. And also you can correspond, you know, have a conversation with them in real time to make sure that not only, you know, is your property and everything inside safe and protected, but also, you know, you can then ensure that, you know, who is there is who they say they are, and also the things that they're doing are all above board.
815 said, do they record 24/7? How much memory do I get?
It depends on which model you get. It's more of a streaming thing, and it really does depend on which one you get. It's hard to say exactly how much memory you get. That's something that, you know, if you're concerned about that, you should definitely look into it on each one. But for the Ring ones, we found that they definitely do have the best amount of memory for people in terms of being able to go back and access what was happening on your front porch.
262 said the city of Milwaukee, along with the police department, are willing to pay for a doorbell camera to be installed in your house as long as you're willing to share the video if needed. Heck yeah. I'm okay with that. I don't know. Do you have any advice for me about that, Jake?
You know, this is one of those interesting developments where you're talking about privacy and, you know, what is the expectation of privacy when you're out in public? I would contend that in most developed nations, you know, when you're outside of your own home, there isn't much of an expectation of privacy. If you're in London, for example, basically any step you make on the street or on the sidewalk, you're going to be fully videoed, and all of the law enforcement will have access to that already. And even in a major city, you know, if you're in San Francisco, New York, Chicago, in the downtown areas, you should expect to have all of your movements be captured by someone's camera somewhere. This is just now kind of scaling out into the suburbs because people are putting them onto their front doors. And I don't know. It's a tricky situation that isn't straightforward. And it could certainly, you could imagine a scenario where it would have, you know, negative implications. But at the same time, I think that people's idea of privacy in general are changing in the modern age where we have all of this technology and all of this interconnectivity.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's one of those situations.
John, they identified him. It was the woman's ex-husband in that one case I was referring to. And 630 said Ted Bundy would pretend to have a broken arm. We have listeners all around the country. And 630 said, I live in Arizona, recently became paralyzed. We installed a Ring doorbell camera. I think this person means literally they are paralyzed. They're not able to get around. They installed a Ring doorbell camera. It is a godsend to me to be able to answer the door, even though I may be in bed. Also to see when packages are delivered. And from 815, John, we here in Miami, a workman showed up to tear up our sidewalk. I answered from the beach and let them know that the car in the driveway was our neighbor's. They were able to move it, I guess. Kind of cool. Yeah, I think this technology is great for a number of reasons, and some of you are worried about abuses, but I'm mostly seeing the upside. I should spend a couple hundred bucks or so, Jacob? Is that what it's going to cost me?
Yeah, it's going to be about two. You should expect for a higher-end model to spend at least about 200 bucks. And the part of it, too, that makes them so interesting is that they not only have these big implications, right? They can help out law enforcement in dangerous situations. They can protect your property and family. But it's also just a natural extension of how our world is moving, where there's so many more deliveries, there's so many more packages being dropped off, you know. And so because of all those deliveries and all those packages dropped off, that means that they're now attracting these thieves out into the neighborhood to go see what they can find to maybe help themselves out. And so I see it as a protection of all of the investments you're about to make. And we were talking about it in the office earlier, and we think that it would probably be very beneficial for people to buy these before they start getting all of their Christmas presents shipped to their house.
That's what I was thinking. Jacob Palmer writes for bestreviews.com. He's an editorial manager there. Nice to talk to you again, Jacob. I'll call you again, sir.
Hey, great. Thanks, John.
Which puts me in a good mood, Steve, is Spiral Staircase. I love you more today than yesterday.
Oh, okay.
But not as much as tomorrow.
Well, you just killed our mood, but I get it.
Yeah. I won't sing for the rest of the show. He said,
since you played that song, it made me think of Now That I Found You, I Can't Let You Go. Now that I found you, I can't. I love that song.
You know the thing I did to that song? You just did to that song.
I know. Totally guilty.
You got a good voice, Steve, but it doesn't translate when you try and sing.
You know what's even weirder is the song I was actually thinking of that came to me on the way home.
Wasn't this one?
Fill Me a Buttercup.
Why don't you fill me a buttercup?
I love that one.
So this is the wrong song.
No, I love that song too, but the
I was thinking again today about songs that when I listen to them just put me in a good mood. And, you know, mine was Spiral Staircase, I Love You More Today Than Yesterday. And then a lot of you called in and texted in and shared on my Facebook page. I'm WGN King John, what those songs are. If you're just joining us now and didn't hear that yesterday, 78 minutes of music you should listen to. And according to British researchers, almost prescriptively, they said you should listen to this much to calm you, this much to make you happy, this much to cancel negative feelings. And if you have songs that do that, if you know them, you should really listen to them. It helps. Maybe you're just picking that up inadvertently. I don't. And so I was literally thinking, I don't know where I'm going to carve out that space in my day, but maybe while I'm doing one thing, I'll have that on in the background. I think that's a good idea. By the way, about those video cameras that people, you maybe I shouldn't ask. Hey, do you got one of those video cameras on your door, or are you not safe and secure? I don't know that my building has one, but as a member of the condo board, I think I'm going to suggest that we get into that.
My parents have one, and they have it hooked up to Alexa so that every time someone's even approaching the door, it says, motion detected at the front door, and it's like, oh my God.
Then
like, it will go off even if a rabbit jumps on the porch in the middle of the night.
I'm sorry, you're on the condo board?
Yeah, there weren't a lot of candidates on the ballot, I'll be honest with you.
Did you campaign hard for that?
They said you can vote for anybody, and I voted for the guy on the unit above us.
Yeah?
I think he voted for me.
Oh, so you mean you didn't even actively put your name in?
No, they said, hey, there's only eight of us here, and two of us are leaving, so would you be on the board?
Mm.
And so, long story short is, I said, well, I have no financial skills. We needed a treasurer. The secretary of the condo association is staying on, so there was only one real spot they needed to fill.
So you're the president of the condo association.
Like I said, it wasn't my idea.
It's a rewarding job, John.
I don't want it, and I suggested to them in my first meeting as president, I said, you know, in some condo boards, they waive the HOA fee as a sort of fee for service. I'm suggesting to the association that we reward these capital officers with that sort of stipend.
So you would wipe away three of the eight paying members.
There are so few of us, I would feel a little guilty. It would feel like if there was 800 of us, nobody would notice, but it would actually put a dent in the overall revenue that the association collects.
So what are you going to do to stop the condo exodus? Clearly, you have a problem there. Or accelerate it.
Thought that through, Steve. Brian did want to say something about this, though. That is these cameras, not my being on the condo board. Hey, Brian, you're on WGN. Hello.
Hey, hello, John. First time caller to your show.
You're doing great so far, Brian.
Great, great topic. Question. I've been thinking about getting a ring on my house. The question I got is, I understand. I've been seeing the commercials and everything is covering the front. Can you have it done to the back door, too, on the same system?
I can't imagine you wouldn't.
Huh?
I can't imagine that you wouldn't. Listen, you're talking to the wrong guy. I just recently become a member of the board. I don't know about this technology. I'm sure that you could hook one up to the front and the back, or a side door, or a window, whatever. You know, that makes sense to me. I'll tell you what, Brian, keep listening. I'll get you an answer on that, okay?
I will do that, sir. Thank you for taking my call.
You have a good day. Call here again, okay?
You got it, buddy. Bye.
I know. All right. I'm sure that technology is available. What else? Lots of texts about this. John, there was a story about a little boy who rang the doorbell looking for help and getting himself shot. That's the thing. I worry that there'd be mistakes made with the technology, too. But by and large, I think it's probably a good idea. I mean, obviously it is. And our neighborhood association, too, just like, you know, they have these websites where everybody shares help and tips and crime reports and things. People will post the videos. And in our neighborhood, two videos popped for me. One was a guy walking into the common area of a condo and just helping himself to the packages and then heading out the door. And he looked like a guy that you wouldn't think twice about walking down the street. But somehow he gained access to somebody's common area and just lifted up all the packages and walked right out.
Well, that's another thing. Apparently the apps will alert you if there's been some kind of minor crime reported within, you know, a few miles. So it's a way of keeping track of any shifty behavior.
I just wonder what it's like for those people, too, because I'm sure a lot of the shoes they're getting don't fit, you know, or it's not their style. I mean, I wonder what the... Hey, if you're a crook and you steal packages from people's doors, what's the rate of return, right? Like, how many things do you get that you like or want? Now, maybe you're just going to fence them. You're just going to sell them on other websites or to other people, so it doesn't matter. But I'm still kind of interested in what the rate of return of that is. I mean, for the crime you're committing, which may well be getting caught on camera, how rewarding or valuable is that? It's tempting, I know, but, dude, I'll bet you they catch you these days. You know, somebody referenced earlier that we live in I guess it was our guest a little while ago. He said, we live in such a public way these days that there's very little expectation of privacy. we were traveling with some friends, and one of them works for the city installing these cameras for the police department throughout the area. And as we were sitting there having a cup of coffee on a street cafe or an outdoor venue, or maybe we were just waiting for a cab, but we were out front of the building, and he said, "This whole place is being electronically canvassed." I said, "How? What do you mean?" He goes, "There's cameras everywhere." And I looked around, and I couldn't see a one. But he knew, right? So he goes, "You see that light?" And sometimes it's obvious there's great big lights and cameras, but as often as not these days, the technology is so small and so hidden, you can't even see it. He said, "Up and down the street, everything is being captured on video." Dan has a Ring doorbell. Hey, Dan, you're on WGN. What do you know?
Yes, I've got a Ring doorbell, and I've had it for about 3 years. The Rings work off of a battery-operated system, so you have to change the battery on a regular basis.
Oh.
Now, I drilled in through my house and ran wiring in, and I did wire it up directly to the charger. So I've never had to do that. They tell you not to do it, but mine's worked fine like that.
Yeah.
But also, you're talking about the $3 charge. That's because it's a cloud-based system, and it will save as many as you want to save. You can open up your Ring, and it'll give you an opportunity to delete so many things. So you can go through, and whatever you've got on there that you don't need to keep, you can delete.
Huh.
And then it just saves the things you want to save. And that's what you do, is what you've saved.
So you drilled right through your wall of outside to inside and hardwired it to the electricity by your doorbell there, huh?
Yeah, and then that way I don't have to change the battery on a regular basis.
I'm going to have Brenda...
You have to take it out and take it in and charge it.
Sounds like it's time to call Lou.
No, I'm going to have Brenda do that. I'll get her a drill for our anniversary. It's right around the corner. Listen,
I've had it for 3 years, and it's been excellent, and I have had the police come to me and say, "Could you show me this? We've had this going on," and we pulled up and found that there were people in the neighborhood doing things that they could identify.
Yeah, really interesting. Dan, thanks for the call.
Thank you.
Yeah, it's good to know. People like Dan are the kind of people you need to know. You know, you don't need a drill. You don't need a rototiller. You don't even need a boat. You just need someone who has a rototiller or a boat or knows how to do that. Hey, Frank, you're on WGN. What did you want to say? Hi.
Hey, John. Longtime listener. Great show.
Thank you, sir.
The previous caller must have had an older generation Ring. Mine's about 3 months old. You can leave the battery in the Ring, and all you have to do is run a Android-style plug to the Ring for like 2 hours, and you get a full charge, and that's good for like 90 days.
Oh, wow.
And your previous caller asked if you could mount it anywhere. If you're mounting it where a doorbell used to be, and you had wires that powered your old doorbell, you could use that. But he was asking about the backyard or the back door. That's when you would use the battery that's supplied there. But if the wires are there currently, then those wires supply the power to the battery, which keeps it charged.
I'm amazed and impressed with the technological savvy you all have. How old are you, Frank?
I'm just short of 50 years old. I'll turn 50 next year. The Ring has been great because I get Amazon delivered about once a week.
Yeah, right.
And even though I see the driver take a picture of the package on the doorstep, if someone comes later after the delivery person drops it off, even though Amazon will say, "Well, we have proof that we did deliver it," so then I have to have proof that someone took it.
Yeah, I get it. It's very helpful. Thanks for the call, Frank. Thanks all of you for your... Hey, Herb, this is John. You're on WGN. What's up?
Mr. John, thanks for taking my call.
Yeah.
I'm a long-time Ring guy, so I've had it for about 5-6 years. And you can set up... They have quite a variety of cameras, but they have remotes where you can use a solar panel if you don't have wiring. They do have a battery one. And you can hook up to how many doorbells that you have. If you have one in the back of the house or front of the house, they're activated just by ringing the doorbell. So you can hook them all up.
Has it saved you at ever, like from a crime or a theft or, you know, some uncomfortable situation?
Oh, let's just say it's made me feel better about it because we do get quite a bit of packages for work.
Yeah.
But it just gives you a level of comfort. And also, if you have somebody at your home, it gives them a little bit more security.
I appreciate your call. Thanks for joining us today, Herb.
Thanks for taking my call, Jack.
Yeah,
appreciate
you betcha. Have a good day. The hearings continue in Washington, D.C., the impeachment hearings. It sounds so grave to say impeachment hearings. It is, but these are just preliminary. This is the evidence-gathering phase. They aren't impeachment hearings per se. It's not at least an impeachment. Anyway, Raja Krishnamoorthy, the Naperville area congressman, was talking to that Lieutenant Colonel Alexander Vindman. Vindman is the guy whose family comes from Europe, and at least on some TV networks and in some websites, people were questioning maybe the heritage of this man and his allegiance to the United States. I'll just leave it at that. Raja Krishnamoorthy was talking to him about his family and some of the shared experiences they have when Raja started to choke up.
Your father never gave up working hard to build his very own American dream, did he?
He did not.
Well, Lieutenant Colonel Vindman, your father achieved the American dream, and so did you and your family. From one immigrant American to another immigrant American, I want to say to you that you and your family represent the very best of America. I assume that you are as proud to be an American as I am, correct?
Yes, sir.
Sir?
And then he went on to ask some questions. It was interesting to me how much of the testimony by Vindman was about his own biography, about is he a good guy, is he trustworthy or not? What are we doing running this lieutenant colonel who's shed blood for this country? What are we doing running him and his family down? I don't know why we're doing that, but that's got nothing to do with, you know, whether or not the president traded favors in that Ukraine call. But that's the way these things go sometimes. Then Devin Nunes, who was speaking for the Republicans, summarized the testimony of Lieutenant Colonel Vindman and Mike Pence's senior aide, Jennifer Williams. They both testified this morning. Here's how Nunes sort of summarized this morning's hearings.
Well, Act One of today's circus is over. For those of you who have been watching it at home, the Democrats are no closer to impeachment than where they were 3 years ago. In the process, the Department of Justice, FBI, State Department, elements within the IC, the ICIG, have all suffered long-term damage.
So Nunes colors it that way. Adam Schiff, of course, is chairing these hearings, and Adam Schiff said this.
My colleagues have tried to make the argument here today, and we've heard it before, that the president was just interested in fighting corruption. The problem, of course, with that is there's no evidence of the president trying to fight corruption.
Both sides knew the answers to almost every question they asked. They just got sort of either supporting testimony or they were trying to poke holes, but they knew what they were going to get. I don't know what Kim Fox is going to get. She's got a very interesting ad out right now. Have you seen or heard this? I'll say this. This is a dynamite television commercial. You may not like Kim Fox, and she might not be our state's attorney next year, but she's got a commercial out now 1 year before the general election and a few months before the primary, and Kim Fox wants to keep her job, even though she sure did mishandle that Jussie Smollett thing, right? Among other things, you might say. So she's got a commercial out, and I'll just play a couple of clips for you. The version online runs over 2 minutes. You'll probably see a 29-second version of this on TV, but it starts out this way.
It's different now. But I grew up at Larrabee and Division, better known as Cabrini Green. It's where I learned to be tough, to survive, overcame poverty and sexual assault.
She talks about how the buildings came down, but the racism and the problems did not go away. And you see old black and white photographs of her, and you see the buildings come down with the music. You really instantly buy into this narrative, right? Like, she's a fighter. She's fighting for us. She's survived. And you almost want to throw in with her. I think it's a pretty effective ad. Okay, here's a little later on in that commercial.
State's attorney is a tough job. Every day my office is under attack. From a president who uses our city as a punching bag. The NRA, hell-bent on letting guns flood our streets. And the FOP, clinging to the old ways. They'll do anything to undercut progress,
so that's,
including attacking me personally over the Jussie Smollett case.
Yeah, so that's her attacking the police. She goes right after that. She's running for re-election. I don't know who's going to support her and who isn't, but it sure looks like she's not asking the Fraternal Order of Police for much help. And she shows Trump when he was speaking in town on stage in support of the police. In other words, what Kim Fox is saying, if you like Donald Trump, don't vote for me. But if you don't like Donald Trump, do vote for me, vis-a-vis the FOP. Later in the commercial, she says this.
Including attacking me personally over the Jussie Smollett case. Truth is, I didn't handle it well. I own that. I'm making changes in my office to make sure we do better. That's what reform is about. But we all know, those attacks aren't just about one case. They're about stopping progress in Cook County.
So that's an interesting way to sort of leverage the mistakes she made, admit it, and then say, well, because I made those mistakes, I've learned, and now we can grow together. That's the thrust of her campaign. Don't know how well that's going to work for her, but it's dramatically shot, and she's a good TV performer. You got to give her that. 155 on WGN Radio. The Uber editorial in the Sun-Times is really interesting today about what you're going to pay when you drive around and what you should pay or when you get a ride around Chicago.
Thinking big thoughts so you don't have to.
Yo.
Here's John Williams.
That's me. We're here until 3. Then Rokan, Anna DeVlantis get ready to roll into the studio with their team. Remember, on Facebook, I'm WGN King John. We've been really busy on Facebook these days. Lots of shares, lots of follows, lots of likes, lots of comments on lots of things. Everything from a Texas caviar recipe, which I think is just awesome, to our daily news click, the web poll question we ask you about stories in the news. Yesterday we asked you, should bicyclists in Chicago be required to have and to pay for a license to ride on city streets? You want to guess how that one went, Lauren or Steve?
Which? I would say people would say no.
It was close. 48 said no, 52 said yes. Should bicyclists in Chicago be required to have and pay for a license to ride on the city streets?
Yeah, I think pedestrians should be licensed too.
Okay, now you're just being antagonistic.
Well, it's not much different. It's a little different, but...
We've had three unfortunate... That's the understatement of the day, right? I'll finish this thought. Three tragic, unfortunate deaths, people riding their bicycles hit by vehicles in the last 4 weeks in the city. We probably won't hit double digits for the year, so it's an anomaly, but there it is. And I'll just go back to the point I made yesterday. It just seems to me like, cyclists, hear me now. Bicyclists have too much right. They have too much right of way. It would be in their best interest to always ask the cyclists to yield. So if you're passing a vehicle in your bicycle lane on the right-hand side, and the truck in front of you is going to make a right-hand turn, rather than waiting for him to see you in his passenger side mirror coming on the right, and then slow down and yield to you, better that you have to yield to any traffic in front of you. I don't know that that's a silver bullet, but it seems to me like that's just a more logical, that's a more realistic law relative to the way people live their lives in cars, planes, trains, automobiles, pedestrians.
Is there ever a no-fault accident? Or, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, right. If two things collide, somebody had to have made an error, right?
Well, I just wonder by law if that's the case, or if there's such a situation where this was something where there was shared responsibility, and so no one would be found at fault.
Some of the trucks that contract with the city, and maybe city vehicles themselves, can't see everything on the right side. You know, you're over on the left, you've got that rear view mirror. Does it cover everything? Maybe the guy just doesn't look. That's why I just think if we take the power of the right away from the cyclist, remember, cyclists, I'm speaking in your best interest. I ride my bike in the city sometimes to work, too. Not as often as some of you all do. Yesterday, we got a text from somebody that rides 30,000 miles a year, which was that's 100 miles a day, right? 300 times 100. Hold on a second. I'm just going to do that real quick here. It will just take me about 10 minutes. 300 times 100, 0, 0, then 300. Move that over there. Yeah, that's 100 miles a day. Something. That's what he said. Line one, Elif. All right. Let's talk to Tim. Hey, Tim, you're on WGN Radio. What do you want to say, Tim? You're on the air.
Hi, John. I've been saying this for years. As a person that drives every day, I don't like how much they rule the road, yet they don't share the cost of the road. You know, we have our tax or the vehicle. We have city stickers. We have plate stickers. We have insurance. Yet they have all the rights and right of way. You get some knucklehead that comes in front of you, and it's not even your fault. You're the driver's at fault. So I also think they should have city stickers. They should have that they have to pay, and you know, registration, insurance, follow the rules. I know they're supposed to follow the same rules that cars do, but it needs to be enforced. They should get tickets, and that would solve a lot of this problem, I think.
Thanks for the phone call. I appreciate you listening, Tim. Nice job.
It's also true a lot of spending on the roads goes toward bike lanes and things like that.
Well, that's, you know, he does make a point, right? I mean, it's frustrating because of the bike lane.
Right. But it's good for our world that more people are on bikes. I mean, so they should be rewarded that way.
Totally agree with that. But here's what I don't want to do. When I get to be king, all of this, the licenses will be issued and they're going to cost 75 cents. I mean, really, the city does not need to find another revenue stream. Good grief. Let Uber pay for everything. The city does not need to pay, does not need to tax you and I anymore for riding a bicycle. I mean, really, Steve's right. Bicycles, generally speaking, are better for the city. Less pollution, less congestion, fewer heart attacks because you're pumping away on your bicycle. Plus, people will be wearing hip clothes. So these are all good things about bicycles.
And sometimes they're not so hip. Sometimes they're just a little too snug.
Some of you have made some bad decisions. I'll be honest with you. Speaking of Uber for just a second, the editorial in the Chicago Sun-Crimes today is very interesting. If Uber will guarantee that $50 million, Lightfoot might want to get on board. That's the Chicago Sun-Times editorial today. And it's hard to argue with the numbers, right? I can see Lori Lightfoot not wanting to take even a good deal from Uber because it's their deal, not hers. You know what I mean? By golly, this is the way we're doing it, and we're combating with you guys. And she's so mad at Uber, she has charged that they are slipping money under the table to black churches in the city. I mean, really, Lori, is that happening? Maybe it is, but then where's your proof? And she said, well, we'll have names, and she still has not produced the names of those churches. And everybody says, well, she walked that back because she didn't say it was a bribe. She later said it was an investment. Okay, now it's just semantics. She said that they offered black churches on the, I presume, the South and West Side. She said they were offering those outlying churches, you know, not in the downtown area, $54 million, exactly the amount that Uber said that they could generate for the city with their plan. But she said she'd have names, and she hasn't. And, okay, if it's investments, Mayor Lightfoot, then which churches got the investment of $54 million? If she said it, I haven't heard, and I actually made some calls to check today. But the Sun-Times said, hey, take the money. Take the money. That is, it's funny because her insinuation was that they would be giving it to the churches. But Uber says, no, we have a plan to save $50 million, and that would go to the city. We'll agree to some fees, and taxis should pay some fees to come downtown, and Lyft should pay fees to come downtown. And hey, Chicago, you'll make $50 million. And the Sun-Times said they ought to take it. And here's what I think the city should do. I mean, now we're just horse trading. Ask for more.
So she said, though, that the Uber plan didn't alleviate the congestion downtown. Is that now not the case? Or?
Like, this is about that anyway. I mean, give me a break. The problem with downtown is not Uber and Lyft.
You're the guys always complaining about how the Uber drivers all over the place are slowing traffic.
In my neighborhood.
Well, there's more of them downtown.
I don't think so. I don't think Uber is a problem on Michigan Avenue, on the Gold Coast, in the financial district. I don't see a lot of Ubers letting people on and off there, double parking, keeping people from getting through my street when I'm just trying to get home from the Jewel. Okay, well, that is about me, isn't it? But still, I think that it's more a problem in the neighborhood, Steve, where cars are parked on the streets on both sides, and there's just two narrow lanes to pass through the center, and there's somebody with their blinkers on there just waiting in the middle of the street. That's my Uber complaint. That's my Lyft complaint. I don't see that as much on Columbus Avenue, on Wacker, stuff like that.
On the Kennedy? No, of course not. But I'm talking about maybe on Randolph, where they're circling, you know, the idea that they're driving through downtown in a way that they wouldn't be otherwise, waiting for a ride.
All right, I'll meet you in the middle. Okay. Maybe it's a little bit about congestion. But I think at the end of the day, Lori Lightfoot's on this bus. The city council is, because they need $800 million, and this would be 40 of them. Right? Put it to you this way. What do you think this is more? Interest in congestion, alleviation, or interested in $40 million?
I think it's a perfect marriage of two needs for the city of Chicago.
Okay.
But I really truly think it's about congestion, too.
I would also say, then, if you can get 40 from this company, they gross billions of dollars a quarter. I would say, make it 100, and we're good to go. Take 100 million, build Uber. In fact, Steve, what do you think of this? Uber should be allowed to share the bus lanes. Wouldn't that solve some of the congestion downtown? They'd have a lane. I don't know if that makes a lot of sense, but I mean, make a deal with them. Accommodate them, but just get more money. If they offer you 50 million, you know they've got 60. Maybe they've got 100. I would ask for more.
I don't know that Uber's not even profitable, right?
They're not.
Right.
Funny you should mention that, though, because I was Googling that. I've got a computer in my office, Steve.
That's nice.
Last place I worked at, I didn't. It says Uber lost another $1.1 billion in the third quarter of this year. Oh, I wouldn't sleep well if my last name was Uber. I mean,
no, you'd be out driving because you need the money.
$1.1 billion Uber lost in the last quarter. And the quarter before that, they lost $1 billion. And the quarter before that, they lost hundreds of millions of dollars. How is it that Uber's still Uber? The losses are getting less, and the rideshare app is profitable. The rideshare that you and I mostly know them for makes $750 million in profit for them. The problem is Uber Freight, Uber Eats, Uber Duber, all of the other things that Uber does right now.
Don't they have a scooter line too? Are they Lime?
I think you're right. Those are all losing money big time. But those losses are shrinking as well. So Uber may ultimately, you know, by any metric, soon be profitable. Do I got to take a break here, Producer Elif? Are we okay to keep rolling? I can keep rolling? So maybe Uber's actually going to make some money. But right now they are, I mean, it's maybe small consolation to say, well, the rideshare app is making money. like that cancels out the fact that overall you're losing money. And overall they are losing money. But once these other divisions, as they say, mature, then maybe the company will be profitable. My point is just, I think if they've got 50, they've got 60, they've got 75, do I got 80? 80. Can I get 85? Can I get 100?
This isn't money they're offering, is it? These are taxes that they're proposing, correct?
Yeah, well, I mean, so their plan was, here's a plan to generate revenue for the city, and taxi cabs will pay some of it.
But I mean, so Uber's not even paying this money anyway.
Well, their drivers would be collecting the tax for the city, but it would be less than the city's proposing.
I know, but Uber wouldn't be out $54 million. They're just taking an extra $54 million from us.
Correct, except that if that keeps me from using Uber, then Uber will ultimately suffer in the long run if the tax is too onerous for the city.
Nothing will keep you from using Uber.
That's a good question, Steve. So then what's the threshold? I mean, we've been talking about this lately, but this is very much in play right now. So if it was an extra dollar to go downtown, you might do it. If it was $3 to go downtown, I think those are very real costs for people. David, you're on WGN. What do you want to say? You're on the air. Hi.
I think one of the solutions would be have a staging area for them. When I'm downtown, I live downtown, right on Randolph, Lakeshore Drive. That whole Ohio State Hubbard Street is just Uber and Lyft and all these guys driving around in circles all day and all night.
So my suggestion that downtown it's not a problem doesn't wash with you, huh?
No, not at all. Yeah. They need a staging area where they need to be sitting and then let them dispatch. I think the ultimate thing for Uber is to be an autonomous downtown area, and I think you'll see that in about 5 years.
What do you mean, an autonomous downtown area?
They're using the drivers right now for guinea pigs, and in 5 years, it'll just be all autonomous cars. They won't have any drivers downtown.
Wow. Of course, that's small consolation to you.
I mean, under the inference of it's too dangerous to have drivers down there, it'll be all autonomous cars in the whole, let's say, three-block downtown area, and then they'll just keep stretching it out. That would be my prediction.
You heard it here first. Thanks for the call, David.
Yep, take care. Thanks.
Pat, you're on WGN. Jump in there. What do you want to say?
Hi. I was furious when I heard you say something about Uber cars taking the bus lane. I catch a bus, one of any three going northbound on Dearborn Street between Madison and Washington. I can't tell you how many times I've had to walk into the street to catch the bus because the Uber cars are parked in the bus lane waiting to pick up their rides. And they don't care if they're parked there. Nobody does anything about it. The drivers don't care. The buses have to go into the traffic lane, and I have to walk into the street. I and all the other people have to walk into the street. So don't talk about the Ubers having the bus lane.
Your Honor, okay. I'll have that removed from the permanent record. Thank you for the call. Pat, I appreciate you listening. We're going from you to Dan. You're on WGN. Hi, Dan. You're on the air.
Hey, John. Real quick point. Chicago, right? We could save $1 billion by just getting the bad guys off the street. There's about 2,300 of them. The police know who they are. Get them off the street, and let's save close to $1 billion. Think about it, $1 billion that we're spending. We're spending all kinds of money on surveillance equipment, software, systems, all of this, okay? You could take all the bad guys, get them off the street, and you know what? We need a dome in Chicago. And have them dig a dome on the west side of Chicago. Have them dig a big hole, and then let's build a dome. Take care.
Okay.
Problem solved.
I don't even know what the problem was he was addressing. Is he referring to the gang members? There is a limited number of people who commit most of the crimes in the city. Or is he talking about a certain number of Uber drivers? The bad guys. Who are the bad guys in that conversation?
I thought it was the Uber drivers.
I thought he was saying that there's too much money spent on these crimes that go unsolved and that money should instead be allocated towards this issue that you're talking about.
Well, it sounds to me like somebody needs to call back 312-981-7200 because I don't know what he was talking about.
Didn't we already try and have a show called The Dome? It didn't work out.
Wait a minute. So, and then what do we do with the dome? Do we put the bad guys in there and just slide sandwiches under the door? I'm still confused what the dome does.
Yeah, very confused.
Brings in the final four.
312. Oh my God, John. Absolutely. Uber is all over downtown. They stop everywhere. Bad, bad, bad. I'm a sales rep in my car all day. I believe they meant car all day.
Double parking himself and then at the doctor's office.
Just to show that Celine is a good listener.
To bring in some samples.
She signed off with the word pamplemousse.
Oh, that's for Bill Leff.
Pamplemousse? Wait a minute. For Bill Leff, what's Bill Leff have to do with pamplemousse?
Pamplemousse is, I think, French for grapefruit. Yeah.
Well, it's my favorite French word.
I couldn't help myself.
Leff says that all the time.
Are you kidding me?
No.
Pamplemousse. I texted her back saying, hello, pamplemousse.
I said before I went to France with our listeners this summer, I was learning vocabulary. Elif was too. She had a separate trip to Paris. And I was learning all kinds of words, and I was going to order grapefruit when I was there because it's so fun to say.
Omelette du fromage.
I'm pretty sure you had a whole commercial about it and everything.
It was even in the commercial. That's Lauren Lapka. Thank you.
Got your back there, John.
Thank you very little. 773. Bicycles do not need a license. Stop categorizing us with automobiles. Bicycles save the environment. It's natural selection for the people that get killed. I know that sounds cruel,
no, that's
how it's... I'm just reading a message
here.
I know. Shame on me. I shouldn't have read it before I read it. Enforcement of the stop sign law would be nice. Yeah. Okay.
Just got a text from Wendy Snyder. Enter into evidence. Bill Leff has been saying that word for over 20 years.
Wow.
I don't want to start a fight here.
Well, I don't know that he's the inventor of French, so I don't know that he gets to have it. But if he's been saying it for 20 years, I've only been saying it for about 6 months. So Your Honor, I will cede the use and control of the word pamplemousse.
Are there seeds in pamplemousse?
To one Bill Leff. 20 seconds? All right. Producer Ellis said we got to get out of the way. We'll pause here. Steve's going to do WGN Radio News. The president said that he would want to ban all flavored vapes, and now it seems like he's backing off on this. I'm less interested in the president's view than on yours. And there's somebody we talked to who runs a local vape shop and courageously came on with us not that long ago and was terrific. Just a last couple of texts and one more call about this last conversation we were having, and then we'll move on to the next subject. This has to do with vaping and what's going to happen next. Hey, John, when I was in grade school, the nice policeman visiting taught us to dismount and walk our bikes across the intersections. Imagine that. 219, I had an accident, no tickets. I mentioned this earlier, Steve. The officer didn't issue a ticket. He said that's why we call it an accident. Hi, John. When I was in grade school, I mentioned that. It was this is the one I wanted to get to. We started the show today talking about that tragic double homicide in Buffalo Grove and the fact that the video cameras inside the garage were able to get the police incriminating information. There was the story in Houston of a child that was kidnapped, and the next day the police were able to knock down the door of the guy that kidnapped the kid, this little girl, and rescue the child. That was 24 hours later because a doorbell cam captured information that led the police to where the guy was. That guy is sent to jail for life. And the story's in the news today because the video of it all has just been released. This all happened earlier this year. But it just made us think a little bit about those doorbell cameras. And a lot of questions and comments came up about that. 708 said, when you recharge the battery on your Ring doorbell, it's no big deal. They will last 3 or 4 months on a charge. But somebody else said, Ring works horribly on battery, especially in the winter. They encourage you to hardwire it. And another 708er said, if you connect the Ring to your current doorbell connector, you don't have to charge it. No drilling is required. That's a task above my pay grade. In fact, the next texter said, this is another episode of Handyman Poker, which is the game Steve and I play sometimes, where we each brag about the handy work we did around our houses over the weekend to see who has the best hand. I would lose on that one. Bill, you wanted to say what? Thanks for calling and holding. You're on WGN. Hi, Bill.
Yeah, about the vaping thing. I heard on the news earlier that, you know, Trump was going to ban all vaping because he was being pushed by his wife and that
and his daughter
to ban the stuff.
Yeah.
And now all of a sudden he's changed his mind because I heard the other day it come out that somebody gave his ratings and said if he bans it, a lot of people lose their jobs or lose a business, so he's worried about his ratings.
Yeah.
So it's, again, money against the money wins.
Yeah, I saw the same story. Thanks for the call. And I don't mind any politician responding to what the people want, right? So if Donald Trump's going to lose votes in a reelection campaign because people like to vape or the vaping industry produces a lot of jobs and he says, well, I should listen to that, I don't have any problem with that. I mean, whatever your reason for forming an opinion or changing opinion is, as long as you're open about it, you know, they used to criticize Bill Clinton for the same thing. Stick your finger in the air, whatever way the wind's blowing, that's the way I'm going to go. But if we're the wind, I don't know that that's always such a bad idea. Be principled, yeah, but I don't mind you listening to the people. The CNN story said campaign aides highlighted an aggressive social media campaign. Hashtag iVapeVote. iVapeVote, in which advocates claimed a ban would force the closure of vaping shops, eliminating jobs, sending users of electronic cigarettes back to traditional smokes. Parscale also pointed out the risk that a ban could have on e-cigarette users in key battleground states that Trump narrowly won in 2016. Others in the West Wing, including Kellyanne Conway, have argued that a ban would be a winning issue with suburban voters, including moms who have fled the president in large numbers. Few would predict where Trump, who is known to abruptly change his mind, would end up since he recently had been consumed with other matters. You know what those are. His wife and daughter asked him to side on the ban the flavored vapes side. And what I heard was that they were going to ban the mint-flavored vapes, which I think is their best seller. Last time we talked about this, we had a, I thought, pretty informed conversation with Jamie Havenar. Jamie runs Boss Vapes in LaSalle, Illinois. Hey, Jamie, it's John Williams. Welcome back to the show. How are you?
Good. How are you today?
By the way, for those who don't know where the LaSalle, Peru area is, that's just out I-80 west of Chicago, right?
Correct.
How far are you from downtown?
Oh, about an hour and a half, I would say.
We had to go this far to find somebody willing to talk about it. A lot of the vape shops, seriously, a lot of the vape shops don't want to discuss this. I'm not exactly sure why. I know it's controversial, but I think enough people are kicking you guys around. We ought to hear your voice, too. How's business been, Jamie?
It's taken back up so good, yes.
Well, last time we spoke, it was what? When they were, what was the ban that got in place? Where were we last time? Say it again.
T21. That was the 21 age restriction.
And so is that where we are in Illinois? You got to be 21?
Yes.
And you're okay with that, right?
Yes, 100%.
What is the status of the flavored vapes?
I'm sorry, what?
What's the status of flavored vapes?
Well, it's still legal. So yeah. We just had a big win for Illinois this past week. So
that is, they're still legal, in other words. Is that what you're saying?
Correct, yes.
Is there discussion about which flavors to ban and which not to ban, or which kind to ban and which kind not to ban?
Yes. They're trying to get rid of anything except for menthol and tobacco flavors.
Okay, but so far there's no restriction of any kind. You can sell any menthol, mint, bubble gum, whatever, right?
Correct.
And it would seem to me like if you did back off on bubble gum and cotton candy, I don't know what might attract teenagers more, but wouldn't that be at least a compromise? Talk to me about your thought on that.
I don't feel it's a compromise. adults, I'm an ex-smoker. I don't want to have to smoke a tobacco or a menthol tobacco flavored vape. I've used fruity flavors. I've been vaping for over 7 years, and I use those strawberry and dragon fruit, you know. I don't want to have to be forced to be reminded of, you know, a bad habit I had for 20 years, so.
Do you worry that, right, so if we said, okay, no candy-flavored ones, just tobacco-flavored ones, if that's such a thing, that might actually make cigarettes more appealing to you?
I think it could, but they're, you know, Juul's proven they took flavored pods off the market, and I'm against Juul, the company, but Juul's proven that doesn't work. They took flavored pods off the market almost a year ago. The number of pods they've sold hasn't changed. Everybody just switched from fruity to their mint and menthol pods. You get rid of mint and menthol, people are just going to switch to tobacco. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's been proven that doesn't work.
People will still vape.
Yeah.
Why are you against Juul?
Well, they're owned by Altria. I mean, a portion of their company is owned by Altria, which is big tobacco. I don't feel they have any business in our space. I mean,
okay, or no moral high ground. I mean, either way, they're
correct,
working for big tobacco
correct.
As it is. Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly.
So I can come into your shop. You'll card me to make sure I'm 21, right?
We do. That is not the law. It should be. It's not the law. I would compromise on that in a heartbeat. We've been doing it for over a year now. You have to be 21 to enter our store. That's not the law. You just have to be 21 to purchase. But I think it should be 21 to enter.
Well, wait a minute. But if... I guess that would be for just a vape shop. I mean, I can buy vapes in stores that should not require me to be 21 to go into the store. But the law does not require somebody to prove their age. They don't have to show an ID?
Not to be in the store to make a purchase.
But to make a purchase.
That needs to get changed, yes. You should be 21 to enter the location,
yeah.
In my personal opinion.
So the question is, should we just ban some of the more popular flavors? And you're obviously on the side of don't. And your view is don't ban any of the flavors. Is that right?
Correct. Yes.
Okay, hold on. My number's 312-981-7200. Jamie Hanover is a owner of Boss Vapes. It's in LaSalle, Illinois. And where are you on this one? 312-981-7200. Jamie Habanar runs a vape shop in LaSalle, Illinois. She's talked to us before about her business and her take on the law in Illinois on vaping. And you can still get all the flavored ones you want. Jamie says that's fine by her. I asked our listeners to give us some of their comments about that. Hey, Brett, you're on WGN. You're on the air. What's up, Brett?
Good afternoon, John. Thanks for taking my call. I listen every day.
Thank you, sir.
My comment is this. You can keep it 21, like Jamie says, to get in the store. That's fine, whatever. I'm not a vape user, but we can look back in history and see that if people are going to do something, underage or illegal or not, they're going to do it. If you start putting a ban on these flavors, I think it would start to push more people into the black market, which is going to then increase your health risk, as we've seen in weeks past. So it doesn't really matter whether they're flavored, unflavored, or not. If people are going to get their hands on them, or alcohol, or cigarettes, or anything else, they're going to get their hands on it. And you mark my words, when weed becomes legal in January, this same conversation we're going to have with parents finding their children with some sort of marijuana product. They're going to start calling for all this stuff again. It's just not going to work. It has in the past. It's never going to work.
All right, hold on a second, Brett. I appreciate your call and observations. The number has sure gone up, Jamie, of vape-related deaths and vape-related injuries. And I don't
let me clarify on that for just a moment. You, and I'm not pointing at you directly, you cannot call it a vape-related illness. If everybody, say 500 people drink a glass of bleach, you can't call it a drinking-related illness. It's not what you're, you know what I'm saying? It's not the act of drinking that's making you sick. It's what you're drinking. You were drinking bleach. Of course it's going to make you sick. You know what I'm saying? The CDC, had they come clean with this information in the first place, people wouldn't have the misconception that vaping caused the illnesses. Vapes that you purchase in the stores have not created illnesses. This was illegal THC cartridges. So I want to be very clear on that. A vape that you purchase in a store is not causing the illnesses. It's not vaping. It's what you're vaping. You're vaping vitamin E acetate.
I get the point. I'll take your word on that for right now. I mean, really, I will, Jamie, but you're right. I have not heard the CDC or somebody else distinguish what people were vaping when they got sick or when they died.
The CDC, and this was very irresponsible to withhold information over a two-month period, they know that from the get-go. Now they've released it, and I'm glad the truth is finally coming out, but they've withheld this information. We've known it for over 2 months. 85% of the people were THC users only. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's a high number. And the other 15%, they didn't even test to see if they had marijuana in their systems. Those are just the ones that admitted, you know?
I'm under the impression, though, Jamie, that it's, I get your point. And let's say that your interpretation of that is true. But I thought it was also just the massive amount of nicotine that people are putting into their lungs that is problematic. People are consuming, if they consume a pod of that vape oil in a relatively short period of time, it's like them smoking a lot more cigarettes than a normal person would. That's
the equivalent to drinking a pot of coffee versus a cup of coffee. You know what I'm saying? Like, nicotine in its true form, such as in vaping devices, like in its pure form, has the same side effects as coffee. It increases your heart rate. Yes, it does. You know, if you're vaping it nonstop, your heart rate is going to go up. That's what makes it addictive, the same as caffeine. But there has these vaping illnesses, the vaping deaths you've heard about, are not attributed to vaping to quit smoking. They're literally vaping vitamin E acetate, which is used to break down marijuana.
Hold
that
on.
Has nothing to do with vape shops.
Hey, Dave, you're on standby. Dave, you're on WGN. What do you want to say, Dave? Hi.
Yeah, I just wanted to state that I think prohibition of any type is not the way to go, whether it be flavors or, you know, whatever. And I think we're onto something that the CDC did prove, that it's these vitamin E acetates that have caused a lot of the illnesses going forward. So I think responsible vape shops and, you know, proprietors of those shops just need to make sure that they're selling the right product. Listen, it's not good for you. It's not healthy, but, you know, let people make their own decisions.
What's your comment to that, Jamie?
I would have to agree. I mean, like I said, when it boils down to it, you know, prohibition, it's been proven through the past. I mean, it doesn't work, whether it be alcohol or marijuana. Prohibition does not work. If you take away, like, say, on a state level, and it's happened in other states, they've taken away flavors. All they're doing is pushing the industry outside of their state lines. People are going online, purchasing them. So you may ban it in Wisconsin. It doesn't stop them from buying it from somebody in Illinois or Florida or, you know what I'm saying?
You're pushing, I know that,
the business,
but
outside of state lines.
Hear me on this, though, Jamie. My problem is, if you're a smoker and this is a safer alternative, why would I stand in your way? Or if you're an adult and you decide you want to vape,
I don't think it's
my business to stand in your way. But it does break my heart to see teenagers vaping. It's, even if you and I would agree that that's a safer version of inhaling smoke, I'm sorry to see anybody go down that path.
No, I would agree with you. This isn't intended for minors. That's never what this was intended for. This is intended to get adults to quit smoking.
Well, they know full well whose cigarettes, you could say, are not intended for minors, but the cigarette industry exists because people choose to smoke when they're very young, and the vaping industry is no different than that.
Yeah, I would have to 100% disagree with that. We have never sold to minors. There's such a high standard in vape stores. Now, I'm not going to talk for gas stations and everybody else. I'm talking in vape shops to keep this out of the hands of minors. Like I said, you don't have to be 21 to be in our store. We don't allow it because I don't want an 18-year-old coming in, hanging out with their 21-year-old friend who can purchase, being like pointing at something. So we just don't allow them in there, yeah. You know.
Jamie, I'm out of time. Go ahead. Finish that thought, Jamie. We're out of time. But what was that you were going to say?
This is definitely, just going back to it really quick, prohibition doesn't work. You take it away on a federal level, it's going to, like your caller who called in said, it's going to drive a $9 billion industry into the black market. And that's where you're going to come up with problems.
Jamie Havenar is the owner of Boss Vapes in LaSalle, has joined us in the past to advocate for her side, and she does a nice job. Jamie, it's good to talk to you again. Thanks for joining us on the radio today.
You have a good day.
You too.
Bye.
You too. Bye now. That's Jamie Havenar. By the way, the texts are all over the map today. They usually are. We cover a lot of topics on this show. Someone texted in around 1:35 this afternoon and said, what was the name of the song you played yesterday where the man was just making sounds? And I think I know what it was. Now, Elif, I'm going to make this a quiz. Let's play. Do you know what? I think you and I know what they're talking about, right? It would be at the end of the mashup of Chicago songs that we did going into our Mega Pros Monday quiz. We do.
I think we're thinking about two different things.
That's what I think it is. What do you think?
Isn't it the la 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 la?
Yeah.
All right. Well, let's play them both just to see. Maybe we can help everyone here. So Elif's going to cue up the two sounds or songs, right? I don't care which one you play. Play the one you got in front of you, Elif. You could play the whole thing
that
if you want.
That was it, right?
Yeah, but I mean, play the whole thing.
Come back to Chicago.
This is what we play when we do our Chicago quiz. And the last sound is who?
Chicago, Chicago.
Shy City.
I'm coming home again.
I thought the trivia question was, who was that making those sounds at the end? That to me is as someone said, some man just making sounds. But maybe it was the other song. I have the answer. I'll give you a prize if you give it to me right now. Producer Olive, somebody said, what's that sound at the end of that mashup of Chicago songs that we play when we do our Mega Pros Monday quiz? Hey, Sammy, who is that making that noise?
That's the call of Chance the Rapper.
Attaboy. Attaboy. How hip are we? Nicely done. I've got some prizes for you. Hold on, okay? Talk to producer Aleph off the air. We'll get him a Malnati's pizza.